Many people have walked or driven right past one of the most prolific passageways of the Underground Railroad in Syracuse and never even knew it. WAER Today starts a series of Black History Month reports on local connections to abolitionist history. In CNY Unknown Underground, we'll look at some of the lesser-known places and stories of fighting against slavery. We'll fill in some gaps and add some interesting facts to people or events you might have heard about. WAER's Chris Bolt starts things off with a report on why an unassuming street corner in Syracuse is really an important way station of history.
You very well might have driven past the intersection of East Genesee Street and Pine maybe thousands of times. Writer and local resident Matt Ascenter had a friend that lived just a few doors down.
I used to come here all the time, in my late teens, early 20s. I didn't know anything about it, and neither does anybody else in Syracuse, which is a tragedy.
What he's talking about is the home of Reverend Jermaine Logan, a prominent but not always front and center figure in the area's connection to the abolitionist movement.
What, 1,500 people, passengers on the Underground Railroad came to his house? He was blatantly open about his practice. He would hand out cards saying, Underground Railroad, I'm a conductor. He dedicated his life to helping freedom seekers find freedom.
Center and others note that it's a shame Logan's home was never preserved as an historic site. If you're trying to envision the property, it's now a Rite Aid drugstore. Center links Logan's home with Tubman's and other abolitionists as not just historic, but having a certain spirituality to them, something we'll talk about a little later. Robert Jed Sneed also found out Logan was very public with his support for freedom seekers, runaway slaves.
If you knew of or if there was a person who had escaped slavery and had made their way to Syracuse, could come to 293 East Genesee Street, and as he said, he would make them most welcome.
He might help them get a job or find passage to Canada. Sneed found out quite a bit about Jermaine Logan as he developed a performance in which he portrays the Reverend in historic reenactments. Logan escaped slavery himself in 1837 to Canada, but made his way back to Rochester to work. He gained some education at the Oneida Institute in Whitesboro, where Sneed believes he developed confidence to speak out against slavery.
He truly believed that if you did not treat others the way you wanted to be treated, then you were not doing God's will. I think that is what drove his actions, what drove his speaking, what drove his life.
He became a speaker decrying the 1850 Fugitive Slave Law at events central to Syracuse history.
Okay, is Syracuse going to be complying with this law? Or is Syracuse going to fight this law with all of its might? And that's the meeting where he says that I outlaw this law and it outlaws me.
Sneed found Logan was not shy about putting his own freedom on the line.
He said, many people have offered to buy my freedom, but I refuse it. He said that my freedom was given to me by the God who created me. And with giving me that freedom, he gave me the right to defend it against any and every body and thing. That's the sense that I get from him. He was a warrior.
Logan was front and center in the Jerry Rescue, where a large crowd rose up to free a man caught under the Fugitive Slave Law, an event that resonated nationally for Syracuse and abolitionists at the time who wanted to challenge the law. We'll examine that story in a later piece. Logan remained a prominent and dedicated figure in the cause.
He was friends with Douglas. He was friends with John Brown. He was friends with Harriet Tubman. And from my research, he used all of his energy, all of his resources, to sometimes the chagrin of his wife and family, to do God's will.
Logan's history, while known to some, might have been a bit drowned out by other local stories and figures of note. Harriet Tubman, who traveled through Syracuse and lived in Auburn, Frederick Douglass from nearby Rochester, or the Jerry Rescue.
He should be remembered and uplifted as, in his day, I'll put it like this, in his day and time, he was as recognized, as famous, as those individuals like a Douglas and the Tubmans who have come down.
Alas, Logan wasn't as literate as the other two figures. Plus, Need adds, history only remembers one or two main players from any era. There might be more going on at Logan's home and other historic properties in abolition history. Matt Asenner wrote the book Sacred Sites in North Star Country, in which he links Logan's home to others.
Frederick Douglass's home, which I call his farm near Highland Park, Harriet Tubman's home, William Seward's home, Gerrit Smith's home, all have these fields of consciousness. And so they were very close to where these consciousness emanated. Either they were drawn there or motivated it. And it nourished their souls.
Something Center finds too much to be a coincidence. In his book, he notes such sites are prominent in abolition, but also the women's rights movement, Haudenosaunee history, often called the basis for democracy, religious movements, and other spiritualism. Perhaps another reason Logan's home should have been preserved. If you walk by, there's a placard at the corner with Logan's story and other nearby Freedom Trail sites. Logan is also remembered by a park that bears his name just up Genesee Street from his former home site. Kids using the playground or adults just enjoying a break at the park probably don't connect their freedom to do so with Jermaine Logan's efforts more than a century and a half ago in Syracuse history. Chris Bolt, WAER News.
Future installments of CNY Unknown Underground will also be on our website, waer.org, and on the NPR One app.